Chapter 16. Lanling 1. Thinking of you, thinking of me. Thump, thump. The silvery ropes of the deity binding net glitter ominously in the firelight. With every excessive movement, the lurid temple walls press in closer. When his latest attempt to free Suibian from its sheath only causes the wall to inch farther in, Wei Wuxian curses and tries to remain still. Calm. Still. Thump, thump. Thump, thump. Maybe if he just gets the walls in close enough to brace against them. No, too dangerous. The sword is only a little bit exposed. Maybe if he inches it down, he'll be able to cut some of the ropes on this net. The corridor is empty, save for flickering shadows. The other competitors' voices echo in the distance, scrambling to and fro. There's even the faint sound of some sort of battle, followed by a horrific roar as a fierce corpse is swiftly dispatched. As he inches Suibian closer to the ropes to try to cut himself free, Wei Wuxian presses rewind on his memories and tries to remember how he got himself into this situation. A couple days earlier. Welcome to Lanling, Ms. Jiang, and competitors Jiang and Wei. The man in the sharp-cut suit and sunglasses bows to them as his assistant puts the clipboard with their names on it away in her satchel. We are here to escort you safely to Koi Towers.
Did you ask Jin Zixuan to fetch us like we're about to get knocked off by some international triad?
Demands Wei Wuxian. Jiang Yanli looks nervously between the man in the suit and his assistant, and mutely shakes her head.
I thought he was meeting us himself, she mumbles.
Change of plans, Ms. Jiang, replies the man shortly, gesturing towards the airport exit. Due to increased concerns for the safety of the members of the Jin family, as well as the national security threat posed by people protesting the 52nd World Night Hunting Championships in Lanling City, we have deemed it better to take you to Master Jin rather than vice versa. Wei Wuxian frowns.
Increased concerns for what? He wonders. What have the Jin's done now?
The assistant pipes up. Mr. Jin, Master Jin's father, has recently announced his candidacy for the presidency of Lanling, she says, as she leads them out to the pavement where a sleek black limousine with tinted windows is waiting for them. Wei Wuxian can't help but groan at the sight. As the man in the suit gets into the driver's seat and the assistant opens the door for them.
The safety of his family members is now a national security concern.
Wei Wuxian makes a face.
Jin Guangshan is running for president? He asks.
Jiang Yanli shakes her head.
It's been all over the news, even in Yunmeng. Don't you pay attention? Or do you spend most of your time on the internet by doing Lanchan?
I don't need to Baidu him. I know most of the stuff already out there, protests Wei Wuxian.
Jiang Cheng pinches the bridge of his nose. You're hopeless, he says. The door to the limousine closes, and the car pulls away from the curb like a silent shadow. Wei Wuxian presses his face to the glass, looking out at the glittering skyscrapers of Lanling City. His mobile pings suddenly, and he smiles when he sees that Lan Wangji has sent him
descending airplane emoji? Question mark?
On WeChat.
Yes,
he replies immediately.
On my way to Koi Towers.
Lan Wangji sends him
okay emoji, praying hands emoji.
And Wei Wuxian smiles at it through the rest of the drive. Hashtag 52WNC. Hashtag CompCult. Hashtag News. INU increases security demands on Lanling City as hashtag Free Lao Ling protests continue. 8,287 views. GBC News. Amy L. Hashtag Free Lao Ling. Power to the people. Hashtag Free Lao Ling. The rich landlords in Lao Ling shouldn't be making the decisions. Independence and self-determination for the people. Barbie Becky. Look at those unruly mobs ruining a perfectly good sports competition. S. Gallifrey. Look at the corrupt governments the INU plays with. They stuck with Tishan for 50 WNC, and it turns out Tishan's full of doping cheaters. Lunling's just as corrupt, but since they're democratic and capitalist, their atrocities are more acceptable. Night hunting needs heads with actual spines. Libertarian Weed Lord 420. Lunling City's gonna be blowing so much money with this extra security. Flying dollar bills. Emoji. Guess we know who'll end up footing the bill. Eye roll emoji. Yeet me up, Scotty. Yeah, especially the Secret Service protection for the Jin family, who are already richer than God and should be able to afford their own guards. Puking emoji. Blue Lives Matter. Wonder how many of those protesters were paid to be there. Thinking emoji. Hashtag fake news. Q Su. Fuck you. Blue Lives Matter. So much for the tolerant left, folks. Ryan Lee. Since at Q Su's tone was too intolerant for you, I'll break it down. Liaoning, a special autonomous province in Lanling, has been trying to get its independence since the 60s after it was returned to Lanling from Great Britain. Every 10 years or so, they try to run a referendum for its independence, but somehow each of these referendums fail. Partly because rich conservative landlords from Lanling keep intimidating people into voting stay. These protests are happening because the head game master of the INU is from Lanling and the illegitimate son of presidential candidate Jin Guangshan, whose platform calls for increased control over Liaoning. So people are pissed, and I'm pretty sure most of them are here for free. Also, fuck you. The closer the limo gets to Koi Towers, the more apparent the need for extra security becomes. As they approach the gates of the Jin family residence, the crowds of protesters waving picket signs and banners increase in size. Several of the signs say hashtag Free Liaoning on them, along with bloodied X marks over the Sparks Amid Snow peony of Lanling. What the hell? Mutters Jiang Cheng, as police scramble forth to stop the protesters from crowding the limo. Why are they protesting here, of all places? Jin Guangshan, says Wei Wuxian, looking up from his mobile. Baidu says he's been advocating increasing control over Liaoning. His platform only says strengthening national security, Jiang Yanli points out. Which is a euphemism for controlling Liaoning, Wei Wuxian insists. You're just jumping to conclusions, Ai Yang. National security is a reasonable thing to worry about. And you clearly don't want to be on the bad side of a potential future father-in-law, scoffs Wei Wuxian, only to get smacked by Jiang Cheng for his troubles. Remember where we are, yeah? His shirty hisses as the car pulls through the gates and starts traversing down a long cobblestone driveway. Numerous statues and reliefs line the road as the car slows down to a meander so that they can take in all the artwork. Here are all the ancestors of the Jin family, as well as their cultivation sect's greatest disciples, says the assistant, before launching into a tour guide explanation of all the biggest, most distinguished statues along the drive. Wei Wuxian tunes her out, noting how avidly his Shuxia is listening. It makes his stomach churn a bit uneasily. He looks over at Jiang Cheng, who makes a grimace before turning to the window. Wei Wuxian looks down and texts Lan Wangji.
I'm at Jin family residence, and the drive up is already a boring history lecture. Save me!
Almost immediately, Lan Wangji sends a picture of Beng Beng and Tiao Tiao. Wei Wuxian grins.
What do you think about JGS being a prez candidate?
He wonders.
Blank-faced emoji.
Is the response.
That's what you look like all the time.
Protests Wei Wuxian.
Blank-faced emoji times two.
Is the response. Wei Wuxian chuckles before turning back to the window. They're finally drawing up to the end of the endless driveway, crossing a bridge along one corner of a vast lake covered in pure white lotuses. Another set of gates, these ones golden, swing open to admit them through a Western-style courtyard. The courtyard itself ends in a sweeping imperial staircase of gorgeous alabaster, leading up to an ostentatious gold mansion. "My heavens," breathes Jiang Yanli, as a set of footmen open the doors of the limousine to let them out onto plush red carpet. The three of them exit, Jiang Yanli quickly adjusting her hair and reapplying her lipstick against the reflection in the car window.
"I don't think heaven was consulted in the making of this," says Wei Wuxian darkly, as he dusts off his shirt, which feels decidedly frumpy and underdressed compared to his surroundings. "Maybe somewhere closer to Europe?"
"It was once the residence of the British minister to Lanling," says the assistant. "Koi Towers will be serving as the cultivator's pavilion for the competition this year." Wei Wuxian chuckles darkly.
"Gotta keep it in the family, I guess," he remarks,
earning himself an elbow and a glare from Jiang Yanli.
"What? I'm not wrong, am I?"
"Yanli!" someone calls. There's a clatter of footsteps, and moments later, Jin Sichuan comes racing down the stairs with almost comical urgency. As soon as he reaches Jiang Yanli, he sweeps her off her feet and swings her in a circle.
"You're here! You're finally here!"
The last thing Wei Wuxian needs to see is his Shuqie kissing her boyfriend of all people. So he pointedly starts counting the individual fibers on the red carpet under his feet. Flustered, Jin Zixuan sets Jiang Yanli down before snapping to attention and bowing stiffly at him and Jiang Cheng.
"We are honored to have you here, too," he says.
"Yeah, I get it. We're chopped liver," says Jiang Cheng, crossing his arms. "An entire year of dating my sister, and she's finally meeting the family, huh?"
"Oh, I went skiing with them in Switzerland last January," says Jiang Yanli. "You two were busy with school, remember?"
"How could I ever forget?" mutters Jiang Cheng.
Jin Sichuan takes Jiang Yanli's hand.
"Well, Yanli wanted her first trip to Koi Towers to be with her family," he says. "I couldn't argue with that. She's very stubborn when she puts her mind to it."
"You were talking to people who grew up with her,"
Jiang Cheng points out dryly, as Jiang Yanli's cheeks flare pink. Jin Sichuan squeezes her hand. Wei Wuxian has an urge to make retching noises, and then distantly realizes this might be what Jiang Cheng feels whenever he talks about Lan Wangji. "Speaking of which, have the other competitors shown up yet?" he asks. Jin Sichuan, already leading them up the stairs, pauses thoughtfully.
"Most of them," he says. "But I don't think Gusu has shown up yet. They informed us they would be traveling via transportation talisman, so we have someone on standby for whenever they show up."
He pauses, looking over at Wei Wuxian.
"Won't be long, I hope."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
demands Wei Wuxian.
"Nothing,"
Jin Sichuan turns back to his Shuqie.
"Things have been a bit tense here lately, since half-brother is around, but, you know, business as usual."
Wei Wuxian is tempted to retort something about Jin Sichuan clearly mislabeling the source of the tension, but Jiang Cheng's glare causes him to bite it back. Contrary to popular opinion, he doesn't actually have a death wish, and having his Shuqie murder him because he's making her look bad to her boyfriend's posh and snobby family isn't high on his list of ways he wants to die. They enter into a lavish lobby with another magnificent imperial staircase, this one made out of handsome mahogany. It's bustling with staff and caterers, trying to set the place up for some sort of event.
"Is there a party here tonight?" wonders Jiang Cheng.
Jin Sichuan nods.
"A small reception for the competitors. Father wants to meet everyone."
The Lanling City Times. News. Jin Guangshan holds steady as 15th richest person in the world. Jin Guangshan, chairman of real estate development firm Golden Futures Group, holds steady in the global rankings as the 15th richest person in the world, according to Link, Forbes' list of billionaires released on Tuesday. As the richest person in Lanling, Mr. Jin is worth an estimated $49.3 billion. Golden Futures Group is responsible for, Link, over 800 projects in Lanling, as well as other countries like Yunmeng and Baling. Its current major project is, Link, Mercy Gardens, Yunping City in Yunmeng, a self-contained luxury high-rise apartment community with its own shopping center, recreational center, and office space. Read more. Activist and former adult film star Meng Shi found dead in hotel room. Meng Shi, a sex workers' rights activist, was found dead in a hotel room in Fuxiao district this morning. Ms. Meng, who used to work in the adult film industry under the stage name Golden Goddess, and who had once posed for adult magazines such as Playboy, Hustler, and Incense, had recently been embroiled in a six-figure lawsuit against presidential candidate and real estate developer Jin Guangshan, whom she claimed had tried to bribe and threaten her into signing a non-disclosure agreement regarding an affair they had over 30 years ago. The Lanling City Medical Examiner's Office is still determining the cause and manner of death. "We are looking into all possible options," says Liu Jinshen, chief medical examiner. The timing of the death to the most recent wave of online harassment suffered by Ms. Meng makes a final determination difficult to ascertain in such a short period of time. Read more. The evening reception is about as boring as Wei Wuxian had expected it to be. Inoffensive jazz music filters through the opulent halls of Koi Towers as all of the competitors queue up in their nice suits and dresses to shake Jin Guangshan's hand. Wei Wuxian knows, in theory, Jin Guangshan doesn't look nearly as old as he really is. Baidu had told him he's a notorious lady killer, a connoisseur of all things fine and beautiful. But seeing the man in person is another thing. No man whose political platform sparks so much unrest should be allowed to age so gracefully. And yet, 60-year-old Jin Guangshan doesn't seem to look a day older than 40. Feeling his Shuqie's hawk-like glare at the back of his head, she really could get like Madame Yu when she puts her mind to it. Wei Wuxian puts on his least pained-looking smile and shakes Jin Guangshan's hand before rushing as fast as manners would allow to the refreshments table. "Why is the food so small?" he mutters to Jiang Cheng, as the other man joins him, downing a cup of Emperor's Smile almost as soon as he grabs it. Wei Wuxian holds out a tiny plate with tiny crackers smeared with tinier portions of caviar. "This is barely a bite." Jia says, "Apparently, bitelets are in style with rich people," says Jiang Cheng. Wei Wuxian grimaces before looking around the room at the other competitors. "Jin Su is here again," he remarks. "I thought Lao Ling was boycotting." "Nie Hoisong told me she was competing independently," says Jiang Cheng. "Yeah, you really want to represent Lao Ling at a time like this?" wonders Nie Huaisong as he sidles out of seemingly nowhere with his own champagne flute. "Honestly, not sure why the INU went ahead with holding worlds here. You'd think they'd learnt from Qishan." "I'm pretty sure I know why," says Jiang Cheng, nodding over to where Jin Guangyao is determinedly not looking at his father, even as the two of them greet the competitors together. "Textbook-style daddy issues right there."
"Speaking from personal experience, are we?"
wonders Nie Huaisong. Jiang Cheng elbows him. Wei Wuxian chuckles. "But actually, Daga's mentioned the INU heads took the Lanling Big over the objections of Jin Guangyao.
I guess Jin Guangshan made them an offer they couldn't refuse.
Wei Wuxian snorts into his bite-lip morsels.
Ominous, he remarks. No wonder people think this is a political stunt and are protesting outside the gates. Well, the actual opening ceremony is going to be in the Sparks Amid Snow Stadium, and the game itself is supposed to be on some man-made island in Lanling Bay, says Nie Huaisong. Daga was complaining about how impractical the entire thing was, since the only way to get to the island is by air or transportation talisman. Considering the lack of extra funding from Qishan this year, I really don't know why... He trails off, sighing. Jiang Cheng suddenly spots someone in the crowd and peels away, his face thunderous. Hey, Qingyang! He snaps, as Mian Mian takes one look at him and whirls away. I need to talk to you, damn it! Nie Huaisong raises both eyebrows. Wei Wuxian shrugs.
No comment, he says.
I'll find out eventually, says Nie Huaisong,
contemplatively tapping at his phone. Wei Wuxian rolls his eyes before waving at Wen Ning, who briefly waves back before returning to some sort of discussion with a bunch of serious-looking men in suits. As the reception continues, Wei Wuxian finds himself desperately scanning the crowd for that familiar glimpse of Gusu blue and white. Lan Wangji hasn't sent him anything since their last conversation that afternoon, and the longer the silence stretches, the more worried Wei Wuxian gets. Wonder what's taking them so long, he mumbles through a sip of Emperor's smile. Nie Huaisong raises an eyebrow.
Gusu, the Lans are supposed to be good at punctuality, but I haven't seen them yet.
Worried about your rival,
teases Nie Huaisong. Wei Wuxian splutters.
Well, yeah, rivalry implies there's more than one person, he points out.
Uh-huh, says Nie Huaisong. Who are you kidding, Wei Wuxian? We all have eyes, you know.
What kind of ominous statement is that? Demands Wei Wuxian. I know you all have eyes, so what?
So, you're basically the only one who still thinks it's a rivalry?
Nie Huaisong taps his phone thoughtfully to his lips, almost like a fan.
I mean, there's so much photo and video evidence now, it'd be stupid to deny it. Everyone knows Lan Wangji's been in love with you since at least Xinglu, if not earlier.
The word love throws Wei Wuxian for a curve, even if it's something he's been secretly wishing for ever since that first night at the Cloud Recesses.
The song, right? He asks. I know about the song.
I mean, yes,
says Nie Huaisong, rolling his eyes.
But also, everything else? Again, the rest of us have known him since juniors. He was so mean then. I think half the kids came out of the competitions crying because Hangguo and Jun sniped their targets.
They should have been faster then, says Wei Wuxian.
Well, he's definitely softened up since you arrived, replies Nie Huaisong.
How could he not? You're basically the only one who makes these night hunts worthwhile for him anymore.
Wei Wuxian's not sure what to do with this revelation, especially since at that moment his mobile pings with a new message.
Waving hand emoji.
Lan Wangji has arrived, slightly travel-worn, but still devastatingly handsome, as he shakes Jin Guangshan's hand. He steps back with a small bow, falling easily into position beside his brother. The two of them then start to make their rounds of the sponsors, as if they've done this 1,000 times, which they probably have, considering how early the two of them started doing competitive cultivation. Wei Wuxian's breath is stolen all the same. At the casual glance of Lan Wangji's steps, the dashing cut of his hair, the flattering style of his white blazer over his light-washed jeans.
Yup. And there's also the way you stare at him like he painted the moon and hung it up just for you,
Nie Huaisong mutters from next to him. Wei Wuxian shushes him as he moves away, drawn towards Lan Wangji like a moth to a distant flame.
Lan Chan, he calls.
Lan Wangji turns at the sound of his name, the corner of his mouth quirking just slightly. It's been far too many months since they last saw one another in person at the station in Chai. They'd bridge the distance somewhat with WeChat, but in this moment, the couple of feet left between them feels more like a wide chasm. Lan Wangji is pulled back immediately into the crowd of sponsors, but before he vanishes, Wei Wuxian gets one more message.
Blowing kiss emoji.
It's amazing how a single emoji can get him through the rest of the night. Golden Core, Forums, Cultivators. WWCN, member for 1 year. Wangjian rivalry, still ongoing? Discuss. Golden Chung, member for 4 years. And no, everyone knows it's some publicity ploy by the Game Masters. Popsicle Twink, member 6 years. Quoted text, Golden Chung said, no, everyone knows it's some publicity ploy by the Game Masters. Say what? I've never seen such a fetid pile of bullshit in my life, OMFG. They're not rivals, yeah, but that's because they're dating. Not because of some stupid score inflation racket. WWXCN. Member for 1 year. Wait, really? Dating? Was there an official announcement? Are you even allowed to date a competitor? Wouldn't it be a conflict of interest? And if they were dating, would it affect their careers? I mean, since homophobia is such a problem in so many sports. Popsicle Twink. Member for 6 years. Oh, no, it's not an official announcement. The INU doesn't care if you date your fellow competitors, since it's definitely happened before. Link. Yu Zuyuan and Jiang Fengmian first met as competitors in Yunmeng back in the day. And as far as homophobia goes, that'd probably depend on the countries in question. Link, Qishan's definitely passed laws restricting LGBTQ+ rights before, but neither Link Yunmeng nor Link Gusu have any solid legislation either denying or protecting the rights of their LGBTQ+ population. L. Fitzgerald, member for 3 years. Quoted text, Popsicle Twink said, neither Link Yunmeng nor Link Gusu have any solid legislation either denying or protecting the rights of their LGBTQ+ population. Aren't the Lans like the Kennedys of Gusu? I'd always gotten the feeling they basically ran the country. Would they pass anything hurting one of their own? Thinking emoji. Brittle Peanut, member for 2 years. Yeah, the Lan family has had, Link, members with same-sex partners. I don't say gay, per se, since all the examples are, like, before we started using those labels, but since they haven't erased Lan Yuling from the family tree for marrying a woman yet, I think they're pretty chill with Wangxian. Miri loves Comp Cult, member for 2 years. Okay, maybe I'm stupid and have been living under a rock, but why are we jumping to the they're dating conclusion? Sauce now, please. Popsicle Twink, member for 6 years. Quoted text, Miri loves Comp Cult said, okay, maybe I'm stupid and have been living under a rock, but why are we jumping to the they're dating conclusion? Sauce now, please. You've activated my trap card! Okay, here goes. WWX's Weibo posts showing himself hanging out with LWJ. Links. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Link, supercut of INU drone camera footage of their in-game flirting. Link, NHS's banquet livestream from 50 WNC showing WWX and LWJ dancing. Link, LWJ's song from 49 WNC and WWX's reaction to it. Link, supercut of every time LWJ has mentioned WWX during his interviews. Link, LWJ's magazine interview about his soulmate. Family and friends pics and vids of the two of them. Links, 1, 2, 3. Olympic athlete Insta stories with them. Note how LWJ won't leave WWX's side. Links, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fan candids of them in Chai. Links, look, they're holding hands. More hand-holding. More hand-holding on a magpie bridge! Magpie Bridge is supposed to be one of the most romantic spots in Chai, so I highly doubt they were reaffirming their bromance or skinship or whatever. And tour de fucking force, links, screenshots, people, grabbed, of the 51 WNC maybe kiss before the streams went down. Like, there's nothing heterosexual about how close they're standing. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. / mic drop. Miri loves Comcult. Member for 2 years. Quoted text. Popsicle Twink said, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. / mic drop. Okay, wow, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, I can see it, but I'd prefer to wait for them to confirm themselves. It seems like an intrusion of privacy otherwise. But if they're really dating, congrats to them. They make such a cute couple. Adora Cats, member for 3 months. This post has been deemed off-topic and moved to the correct forum. The mods. You make me bait, Jin. Member for 5 months. Oh, those flicks look cool. I love the idea of an AU with them as ancient cultivators. That's so unique. I will have to check out soon. Thump thump. Back in the present, Wei Wuxian clenches his teeth as Sui Bian cuts through the rope, cord by cord. The spiritual energy woven into the slender silver rope makes the entire endeavor a lot tougher than it looks. Finally, he frees himself from the net, landing on his feet and dashing out of the corridor before the walls close entirely. He rounds the corner, his heart lodged in his throat with worry. Where is he? Where are the other competitors? Where is Lan Wangji? A day earlier. Did someone die? Asks Wei Wuxian as he enters the briefing room, looking around at everyone's somber faces. You guys all look like you're about to go to a funeral. Luo Qingyang glares at him from her seat. It'll be your funeral if you don't shut up, she hisses. Wei Wuxian raises his eyebrows, but says nothing as he finds the seat Jiang Cheng saved for him. His shirty cuffs him about the head as he takes his seat. Didn't you see the signs from last night? He hisses. The protesters at the opening ceremony? The Free Lao Ling ones, right? Whispers Wei Wuxian. Did something else happen? They started a riot, murmurs Wen Ying, leaning in from behind. The police had to get called. There was looting in the area around the stadium. Didn't you hear about it? It was all over the news this morning. Wei Wuxian's eyes narrow. But before he could say anything else, the Game Masters file into the room for the briefing. Jin Guangyao, in particular, looks a bit more haggard than he did last night. Before we begin, says one of the other Game Masters as they pull up the arena map, I'd like to mention that we're doing what we can to make sure this game goes on without a hitch. Koi Towers is an extremely secure location, and we will be sending all competitors into the game this year through transportation talismans for extra security. Wei Wuxian raises his hand. Does Koi Towers have its own transit hub for that? He wonders. It does, actually, says Jin Sichuan. It's near the airfield out back. You have an airfield, states Wei Wuxian. Sword travel is restricted outside of competitions, Jin Sichuan points out. The Game Master clears their throat. The other reason we decided to use transport talismans is because this year the structure of the game is a little unique, they say. The arena itself is going to be a maze, and the objective is to defeat the endgame at the center before finding your way back out. Are we all going to be entering the same spot? Asks Qin Su. Yes, the transportation talisman will take you to the starting point. The Game Master flicks their wrist, and a green arrow hovers above a large open space on one side of the maze. The gold star marking the endgame monster appears to be right in the center of the map, whilst a red arrow marking the exit hovers on the other side. Points will be awarded for completing the maze as well as defeating the endgame. It may be possible to complete the maze without encountering the endgame, but doing that may not get you first place. Wei Wuxian raises his hand again. The previous Worlds competition had the endgame monster glitch on one of the competitors. Do you think that's going to happen again? Murmurs of assent rise from the other competitors. Jing Guangyao steps forward with a smile.
We are doing all we can to ensure the integrity of the game design, he says. Special weapons will only be permitted against the endgame monster, and this year we have security teams on standby to ensure no sabotage occurs on either side of the command center.
Despite the comforting nature of the words and the placating tone with which he'd said it, Wei Wuxian still feels a curl of unease in his gut. Even after the competitors are dismissed, and Lan Xichen arrives in the briefing room to discuss something with Jing Guangyao, Wei Wuxian remains rooted with a strange feeling of foreboding.
Wei Ying.
The familiar voice causes him to blink and look up, smiling widely as Lan Wangji sinks into the seat beside him.
You are concerned about the integrity of this game.
Yeah, Jing Guangyao's just... Wei Wuxian pinches up his expression as he nods over to where the game masters are conversing quietly amongst themselves at the front of the room. I am not digging his vibe, you know?
He does seem to be acting strangely, agrees Lan Wangji. I imagine being under the roof of the father he detests would be a factor.
Yeah, and the riot, says Wei Wuxian. You know, I heard a very different story about that this morning. People on Weibo say that the riot wasn't started by the protesters, but the police took it as an excuse to arrest them anyway.
Weibo is not a reliable source of news,
Lan Wangji points out.
Yeah, I guess, Wei Wuxian chuckles. I mean, Weibo also thinks we are secretly dating, so...
Lan Wangji's expression stiffens a little, and he draws into himself a little more at that. Wei Wuxian's heart splinters a little between concern and guilt. I'm sorry if I offended you, he says. Lan Wangji shakes his head.
No, it is the truth, he says. We are not.
But I want to, hovers in the air between them, though Wei Wuxian's not nearly brave enough to point it out. He's about to reach over to pat Lan Wangji's hand when someone clears their throat next to them. Lan Xichen is standing there, expectant. The other game masters and Jing Guangyao have already left the room.
Any reason you two are still here? Wonders Lan Xichen.
Wei Wuxian shakes his head, slowly clambering to his feet. Lan Wangji rises as well, falling into his step with his brother as always.
Brother, he says as they exit the briefing room. I had a question I meant to ask with Wei Ying present, hence my own delay.
Lan Xichen nods at some passing officials, all smiles and congeniality. Lan Wangji looks sidelong at Wei Wuxian.
Have you managed to inquire about the glitches?
He asks his brother, who briefly falters in his step before recovering swiftly and turning on his heel to a smaller side corridor.
I do feel like inspecting the Jin family's bonsai garden, don't you?
He wonders cheerily. Wei Wuxian wants to ask why he's avoiding the question, but a brief warning brush of Lan Wangji's hand against his makes the question wither in his throat.
I heard they have bonsai fruit trees.
Do they make bonsai fruit? Wei Wuxian asks, hoping Lan Wangji can see the look of utter confusion on his face. Or is it like tiny tree but regular-sized fruit? They step outside. The estate gardens of Koi Tower are a testament to the ways in which humans can try to tame nature. Unlike the semi-naturalistic setting of the Cloud Recesses, the Koi Tower's gardens are almost boxed in, where every blade of grass knows its place. Naturally, the bonsai collection is extensive. As they stroll between planters and boxes full of carefully wrangled tiny trees, Lan Xichen stops to examine each one of them closely.
Ayao insists there was no tampering, he says after a moment,
straightening up and looking back at the glittering estate behind them.
But I did a little digging on my own and found a little tear in the Chukwa's design. It's not something anyone else would notice if they hadn't worked on the bird as long as I have.
A tear, echoes Wei Wuxian.
residual spiritual energy, says Lan Wangji, from unauthorized access. Were you able to identify whose energy it was? Lan Xichen shakes his head. No, the signature was very faint, he admits, but it does tell me someone manipulated the Chikwa from somewhere that wasn't the command center. Like, from the game itself? Asks Wei Wuxian. All I really know is that it's there. I'll keep an eye out for it this competition, but I'm sorry I can't really offer more information at the moment. This is the best I can do right now. Wei Wuxian nods. I think it's pretty helpful, he says. It at least tells us someone has tampered with it, and either Jin Guangyao couldn't tell because he didn't design the bird himself, or... No, says Lan Xichen immediately. I do not want to entertain the alternative. It is a possibility, Lan Wangji points out. You don't know him as well as I do, brother, Lan Xichen insists, picking up his pace a couple steps. If he knew there was proof of tampering, I don't know why he wouldn't tell me. Wei Wuxian could think of a lot of reasons, but one look from Lan Wangji and he immediately bites all of them back. Lan Xichen straightens up from the last bonsai in the collection, turning back to look at them. I'm doing what I can to ensure the safety of the competitors for this game, which means the two of you need to play it safe, okay? He looks between them, an edge of steel evident in his voice. Promise me, Wangji, competitor Wei, that you two will look out for one another and not do something reckless in the maze this year. Lan Wangji nods and turns to leave, but Wei Wuxian frowns and lingers. You're actually worried your brother is going to do something reckless? He asks. Lan Xichen's eyes narrow. I've noticed that with you, my brother will do anything. He pats Wei Wuxian's shoulder, gaze fixed on the retreating head of his little brother. Don't let him. Jiang Cheng, gold medal when? At Golden Cheng. Well, hashtag 52WNC is already off to a great start. Rolling eyes emoji. Hashtag comp cult. Jay at comp cult screaming. At Jiang Wayne. So far we've got political protests, riots, arrests. And the game hasn't even started yet. What a year! Hashtag comp cult. Hashtag 52WNC. Marie at Light Brigade. At Light Brigade Marie. Did the heads of the hashtag INU not learn from hashtag 50WNC? Don't hold competitions in politically tense countries. Hashtag Free Lao Ling. Hashtag Kick JGY. Hashtag 52WNC. Hashtag Comp Cult. This shrew can't be tamed. At Kiss Me Kate. The hashtag INU's decision to hold a hashtag 52WNC in Lan Ling was either the result of 1. Nepotism, 2. Corruption, or 3. Both. Hashtag kick JGY. Hashtag free Lao Ling. Hashtag comp cult. Starry Night. At Jiang Stan. People really think Jin Guangyao, who hates his dad, would have willingly let the Lan Ling competition be hosted in Koi Towers? Really? Hashtag comp cult. Hashtag 52WNC. Xuan Light Brigade. At Han Yuzu Wus. At certain lanties who have blocked me because I know y'all are secretly hate reading. Hashtag comp cult. Hashtag 52WNC. Meme of a news article that reads, heartbreaking. The worst person you know just made a great point. Thump thump. Back in the present, Wei Wuxian stumbles down a corridor, wondering if it would be a good idea at all to start calling for Lan Wangji until he finds the man somehow. He doesn't know exactly how big this maze is. The transportation talismans had dropped them at the entrance to a foggy temple, and it's been a nightmare locating anyone else since. There's a scream, followed by the sound of a timeout flare. Wei Wuxian runs in that direction, just in time to collide with a figure who seems to be covered in glitches. Wei Wuxian blinks. Is this some new monster the Game Masters have sprung on them? The figure's face is obscured by static. Their sword also flickers like it can't decide what it should look like. Their outfit switches colors and countries between Yunmeng and Lanling and Qishan and Gusu. They take just one look at Wei Wuxian before lunging straight at him. He ducks just in time to avoid their blade, bringing Sui Bian up to block their next attack. He kicks out, but the figure jumps in anticipation before lunging forward again. Wei Wuxian rolls away just in time, before leaping to his feet and leveraging the wall to launch his next attack. He manages to take the figure by surprise, knocking them back a couple of steps, but they recover just as quickly and start to gain ground. Briefly, Wei Wuxian remembers a different sword fight several years ago, with an opponent well-versed in sword forms but lacking in improvisation. Lanchan? He breathes, hoping against hope, but the person's attacks grow even more vicious at the sound of that name. Wei Wuxian frowns. If this attacker was Lan Wangji, surely they wouldn't become angrier at the sound of their name. They've arrived in a hall full of golden goddess statues. Wei Wuxian ducks as his opponent's sword swipes through a pillar. He swipes out, catching a scrap of black cloth with his sword, before flinging one of the smaller statues at his assailant's head. They duck. The statue smashes into the stone ground, causing the other ones to suddenly blink to life around them. The assailant curses, and with a sudden flicker of spiritual energy, they vanish. Wei Wuxian whirls around, ducking a wild grab from a golden arm. Thousands of little goddesses swarm the floor like beetles, heading straight for him, and he slashes away as many as he can before dodging another arm from the larger statues and leaping over the threshold of the hall. The statues don't follow him. Wei Wuxian looks back to see them having reverted to their original positions as if nothing had happened. Panting, he shees Sui Bian before slumping against the nearest pillar. Who was that attacker? Were they part of the game? His instinct tells him yes, since they vanished just like any other monster in the arena. But Wei Wuxian didn't manage to defeat them before they vanished, which implied they had an agenda of their own. And they knew Lan sect sword forms, too. Thump, thump. Thump, thump. Wei Wuxian's heart pounds in his ears, still as he struggles to recover his breath. He'd promised Lan Xichen he'd find Lan Wangji, and the monitor wristband tells him it's been hours since the game started, and he still hasn't found him. Has he timed out already? Unlikely, knowing Lan Wangji's skill, but there's clearly already glitches in this year's game. Ahead of him sits a courtyard with a trough of burning incense. The sickly sweet smoke filters into the night air, making Wei Wuxian feel slightly lightheaded. The sounds of other competitors fighting ring out in the distance. Yet no matter how far he walks in their direction, he never seems to come across anyone else. Lanchan, Lanchan, where are you? A couple hours earlier. Wei Wuxian still only halfway into his arena uniform when he hears the knock at his door. Somehow, there are enough rooms at Koi Tower to ensure each competitor has their own, which means, on the one hand, he doesn't have to share with Jiang Cheng this year. But on the other hand, at night, the room is too big and too empty without Jiang Cheng's snores from the other bed. When he goes to answer, Lan Wangji is at the threshold, his eyes widening as Wei Wuxian hastily finishes putting on his shirt. "I can return," he says immediately. "No, it's fine," says Wei Wuxian, stepping aside to let him in. "Not like you haven't seen this before." Lan Wangji's earlobes turn pink at that. Wei Wuxian laughs, closing the door behind them before wrapping his arms around Lan Wangji's shoulders and bringing him in for a kiss. "Wei Ying," murmurs Lan Wangji when they pull apart. His eyes are both sad and fond as his hands stroke Wei Wuxian's face, tuck his hair behind his ears. Wei Wuxian's gut twists at the sight, foreboding gripping him like frost on metal. Did you want to tell me something?" he asks. "That perhaps you've come to your senses after what I told you in Chai, and realized you deserved more after all? Finally believed your brother's words when he said you could do better? Look how selfish I am, Lan Chan, holding you at arm's length, but also keeping you close. It's true. Wei Wuxian doesn't want Lan Wangji to ignore him. He wants to wake to Lan Wangji's good morning emojis and bunny photos, wants to linger in his arms and fall asleep to the rhythm of his breathing. The problem is, he's still not sure if he could ever be worthy of such treatment. He'd been plucked from the streets and brought into this brave new world of competitive cultivation like a cuckoo fostered in another bird's nest. None of this was his birthright, like it had been for Lan Wangji. And surely someday that spell has to break. Lan Wangji is silent, like always. He brings Wei Wuxian in closer, presses kisses along his collar. His hands ghost along the hem of Wei Wuxian's t-shirt, lingering against the small of his back. If we are separated in the maze, I will look for you. Lan Wangji's voice murmurs against the shell of his ear. We can face the endgame together.
We always end up doing that,
Wei Wuxian points out. Lan Wangji bites his ear, causing him to yelp.
What? I'm right, aren't I?
The setup this year makes reaching the endgame less certain,
says Lan Wangji, pulling back to help him put on his jacket. Wei Wuxian zips it up as Lan Wangji smooths down the shoulders.
But I will only fight it with you.
Wei Wuxian frowns. What if I time out? Lan Wangji inhales.
Then so shall I, he replies. Wei Ying, you must know, there is no victory for me without you.
What, you only feel good about winning gold if it's beating me? Teases Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji's expression turns a shade exasperated, but he leans in and presses a kiss to his forehead nonetheless. Wei Wuxian flushes, before reaching into his pocket and pulling out the white ribbon Lan Wangji had given him in Chai. Do you want this back? You know, for luck? He asks. Lan Wangji takes it, but gestures for Wei Wuxian to turn around. Slowly, reverently, he cards his fingers through his hair, before using the ribbon to tie up a small ponytail. Wei Wuxian thinks back to what Nie Huaisang had said.
You are basically the only one who makes these night hunts worthwhile for him anymore.
Lan Wangji had been extraordinary since childhood, his cultivational prowess unmatched by all his peers and juniors. Even at his first Olympics, his skills were unparalleled. It's no wonder he doesn't show up at the Five Countries Cup or any other competitions where he's more likely than not to dominate the scoreboard. Wei Wuxian's been challenging him since day one, and it's only now that he properly realizes the true extent of that challenge.
Lan Chan, he murmurs, turning to cup his face.
Lan Wangji's eyes widen slightly as Wei Wuxian traces a thumb along his cheek.
If we get separated in the maze, I'll find you.
He takes Lan Wangji's hand, pressing a kiss to his wrist. Let's face the endgame together. Thump, thump. Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian calls, now moving through the temple at a slight jog. Lan Chan! The night wraps around him, suffocatingly humid and perfumed with incense. The sounds of other competitors always seem to come at a distance, and Lan Wangji is nowhere to be found. Wei Wuxian takes several deep breaths, trying to slow the racing of his panicking heart. Lan Chan! He finally sees a figure at the end of one courtyard, but when he approaches, he notices they're clad in black and pressed close to a bronze mirror of some sort. An odd blue glow, which by all means should probably not be coming from a mirror, hovers about their feature as they type at something on a keypad, frowning. Wei Wuxian unsheathes Suibian. The sound of the sword causes the figure to pause, before slowly turning around and raising their hands. Suibian falters as Wei Wuxian recognizes them.
Qin Su? He asks, frowning. What are you doing?
Qin Su smiles weakly. I can explain, she says, before reaching out and tugging him through the bronze mirror with her. They step out into darkness, defined only by the faint flickering of golden grid lines. What is this? Wei Wuxian asks, as Qin Su summons a series of documents with a flick of her wrist and some spiritual energy. The arena, in its purest form. You can create anything in this space before deploying it into the game itself. Wei Wuxian raises an eyebrow. Doesn't this count as manipulating the game outside the command center? Technically, says Qin Su. She starts scrolling through the documents with her fingers, discarding unneeded ones with a flick of her wrist. Do you happen to know anything about the glitches from the recent games? Like the one that took down Jin Xishuan last Worlds? Or the glitch-faced weirdo that tried attacking me tonight? Qin Su's fingers pause, and she frowns at him between lines of text hovering midair. You saw a glitch, what? A person with their face, uniform, and sword obscured by glitches, says Wei Wuxian. Like, they were using the game to hide who they were. He pauses. But why do you care? Qin Su ignores him as she brings up a map of the game itself. Wei Wuxian watches, riveted as colored dots marking each of the competitors move across the map. He reaches out to the one marked Lan Wangji, but Qin Su smacks his hand away. If what you're saying is true, she says, as she pulls up another set of files, then there's probably already been a breach, and the game is not going to work as intended. I've been trying to get a message out, but the system is not optimal right now. Can it be fixed? Asked Wei Wuxian. But no sooner had the words left his mouth do the golden grid line suddenly flash red. Warning! The game blares. Timeout system breach detected. Qin Su curses. Wei Wuxian's stomach twists unpleasantly. What does that mean? He asks, as Qin Su tries to type frantically at the keyboard. That's not good. That's not good, she mutters. Someone's tampering with the timeout system. Do you know who? Wonders Wei Wuxian. As the map itself begins to glitch in and out, as the colored dots all suddenly turn red. Warning, the game blares. Unauthorized access detected. Qin Su points to the bronze mirror. Get back inside and find your way out. Wei Wuxian's expression must have been too rebellious, because she shakes her head and starts shoving him towards the mirror. I'm serious. Get out of the arena. Don't even stay for the endgame. Just get out. Wei Wuxian makes to protest, but Qin Su pushes him with a bolt of spiritual energy, forcing him back through the mirror and into the temple. Here, none of the warning flares and messages are showing, but there's still a strange sense of unease, as if the game is holding its breath. Then the howling starts, and icy fear bolts through Wei Wuxian's veins as thousands of cruel golden eyes flicker from the darkness. You are watching Liz underscore Wangji's 52 WNC stream. Region Tertiary. How have they not found one another yet? I'm screaming! BBTTLES. WW Eggs Honey Lanchan is coming! Killed by the sketchbook. Probably also what he said last night. Dairy cakes. Oh my god! Sasquill. LOL! Irate hearse. 07. Intialote. Press F for that dude NHS sniped. Caught by you. F. Paint her blue. F. Tibris. F. Tangerine Char. F. Abehemoth. At Liz Wonk G. Can we go back and see if we can find WWX? Liz Wonk G. Let me check the controls. Hang on. Mina Homine. LWJ's so frantic looking for him. I'm so... Cute little green raccoon. Did you guys see what WWX was wearing in his hair at the start? Stomp loudly. OMG, no, what? Cute little green raccoon. He was wearing LWG's ribbon! Swanlings. What? Liz Wonk G. Sorry, the controls are being wonky. There's some server issues. Cathayne Dunalaith. There he is! Thump, 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 thump. Wei Wuxian is running for his life. No matter where he turns, the wolf pack behind him finds him all the same. He's running now along the roof of the buildings, not caring what direction his feet take him. Down below, the cruel eyes of the wolves follow him out of the darkness. Someone suddenly collides with him, nearly causing him to slip off the roof. Wei Wuxian manages to steady himself, though, before getting a good look at who he ran into. Wen Ying! His friend's hair is askew, and his clothes are rumpled and torn. He steadies Wei Wuxian by the shoulders, eyes wide. Thank gods you're still here. You don't happen to have any arrows. Wei Wuxian pulls a couple arrows from his quiver, handing them over with a frown. I think the points would go to me if you shot these, though, he points out. Someone took mine, replies Wen Ying, already knocking one to his bow. Wei Wuxian's frown deepens. Someone with glitches? He ventures. Wen Ying nods. I don't know if they took my arrows, but I bumped into them, and the next thing I knew, I had no arrows. Do you think it's part of the game? I've been trying to figure that out myself, mutters Wei Wuxian. Wen Ying hums, his arms trembling slightly as he takes aim. But before he can fire, a flash of purple light ripples down the corridor. Jiang Cheng has burst out of nowhere, his sword bright against the moonlight as he takes down the wolves. He's accompanied by a volley of arrows as Mian Mian's figure appears on the roof of the building across from theirs. There you are! Shrieks Jiang Cheng, once the last of the wolves have vanished. He leaps onto the roof, advancing towards Wei Wuxian. Your boyfriend's going mad looking for you! He's not my... begins Wei Wuxian, but Jiang Cheng's glare causes him to change tack quickly. Where is he? I don't know. I left him near the hall with a Guanyin statue, says Jiang Cheng, just as the howling returns again. There's a flicker of electricity, a glitch of static, and the forms of the wolves rematerialize onto the roof, growling and salivating. Wei Wuxian immediately ducks behind Wen Ying. I will give you all my arrows, he begs. Get out of here, replies Wen Ying. Wei Wuxian hands him his quiver before taking off on his sword, flying away from the sound of battle. Hall with a Guanyin statue. Hall with a Guanyin statue. Hall with the Guanyin statue. A glimpse of white catches his eye. Wei Wuxian quickly descends into the courtyard where it had appeared, leaping lightly off Suibian as he pursues the fleeing white cloth. It leads him through corridors and across somewhat familiar courtyards, until finally stopping inside a hall stuffed full with statues of various deities and spirits. Wei Wuxian frowns, stepping over the threshold. Lan Chan? He asks, peering around a statue to try to get a better look at his quarry. The white cloth flickers and vanishes. Frowning, Wei Wuxian steps forward, but freezes at the sound of a small twang and the feel of something metal against his skin. One scream out of you, and this thing will slice your throat, mutters a deep voice in his ear. Wei Wuxian nearly goes cross-eyed as he stares down at the faint string sparkling in the lamplight of the temple. What do you want? He asks. There's a pause. Then the next thing Wei Wuxian feels is a sharp pain in the back of his head, and then he knows no more.